Welcome to Fusion Today podcast. My name is Brent Williams. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the history of fusions. The fusion industry started out in the late 1940s when a company out of Cleveland, Ohio, called the Dynoc Chemical Arts Company, invented a way to print on PVC. Now, Dynoc Chemical Arts was a film manufacturer, film along the lines of motion picture and photographic film. And so they were used to dealing with thin films and figured out a way to get ink to permanently stick to the PVC substrate. They also engineered a way to emboss that substrate to give it a very realistic look. A few years later, 3M came along and they saw what Dynoc was doing in printing these types of films. And up until that point in time, in an interesting quirk, all of those films were being sold as wall coverings. They had both a PVC version called Dynoc and a polyester version called a Dylon, similar to nylon. 3M came along and realized they had adhesive systems that would allow these films to be attached to smooth surfaces like, say, automobiles. And so in typical 3M style, they bought the company, absorbed it into 3M, and then named the product that they manufactured from that point forward after the company they had bought, hence Dynoc. Dynoc, for a number of years, was sold exclusively to the big three automotive manufacturers. You've probably seen Dynoc out in the world before. Dynoc is the wood grain that you see on things like Dodge Caravans with a wood grain package, or PT Cruisers, or any of the other woody type vehicles that you've seen around since literally the mid-1950s. From the mid-50s until the mid-70s, 100% of 3M's production was sold to the big three automakers. But a funny thing happened in the early 70s. The Japanese started to buy significant amounts of Dynoc, and they weren't putting it on vehicles. What they were using it for was basically as an architectural finish. The Japanese were pragmatic. Hardwood is expensive in Japan, thanks to laws against harvesting hardwoods. And they're an island nation, high humidity, that also leads to high mold and rot rates for lumber. And they saw this PVC-based product as being rot-resistant, mold-resistant. It looked really well, easy to apply, simple to deploy. So the industry basically, as we know it now in the USA, started in Japan in the mid-70s. Later, 3M saw so much of its sales going to Japan for the architectural market that they actually sold a significant chunk of the plant that manufactures the product to Japan. That's the reason why a curious quirk happens. If you look at a roll of Dynoc, you'll discover that it's 48 inches wide, but it's 50 meters long. And all of the competition to this day manufactures product in 48-inch widths. And people say that's kind of odd, being that Japan is a metric country. Well, the reason that the width is 48 inches is because the original machines for Dynoc were American machines. They were made at 48-inch widths because it was a good dimension for the American market. And frankly, the Japanese competitors started making it 48 inches wide because the big dog in the market, Dynoc, was being manufactured at 48 inches wide. So everyone's 48 wide. Since that time, a couple of other companies have gotten into the industry. The biggest players are all Japanese. There's a company known as Belbian, one called Riatech, and one called Altino. All of these products are excellent products, and they're very similar in manufacture to the original Dynoc specification. They all have their differences. They all have advantages and disadvantages over one another. And if you're interested in knowing more in detail about what those differences are, feel free to shoot me an email or a text message online. Thanks again for listening to the Fusion Today podcast. There'll be more tomorrow. Again, I'm Brent Williams. Have a great day.